The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Hour is live, and we've had quite an afternoon here on a Wednesday. And we're not done yet. John Wilner joining us from the Mercury News to give us the latest on the Pac-12. John, thanks for being here. Appreciate it, as always. And I'm assuming at, what is it, 3:01 Pacific time, the Pac-12 is still in existence. Good afternoon.
Yes, I believe it is. Last time I checked, it was, Paul. How are you doing?
We're doing okay, but I apologize for starting off so snarky, but it just seems like I look up and it's the same story about the Pac-12, and maybe it's really none of them are accurate, or maybe none of them really mean anything, or maybe they all do, but what is going on out there?
Well, yeah, I don't know that they're all accurate. I think that, you know, there is some truth to some of the reports, but that's probably as far as it goes. There is a very small circle of people who actually know what's going on and are involved in the negotiations, and those people are not talking. So a lot of it is guesswork and speculation, right? I think that they are, you know, I don't know if you're going to use a baseball analogy, probably in the ninth inning here, but it could be no outs in the top of the ninth as opposed to two in the bottom of the ninth. I imagine they're going to get it wrapped up, you know, in the next few weeks or month or so. But they're trying to not only decide on a media rights deal, but also expansion. And if you're expanding that, you know, just the legal process of adding schools can take a long time because the lawyers get in and, you know, they got to deal with all the paperwork. So it could be a little while still.
Well, let's take both of them. First, the media rights situation, and I realize it's a moving target, but what is the most likely scenario right now for them?
I mean, I've always thought that the Pac-12 and the Big 12 are fairly comparable. So I figure anywhere, you know, the Big 12 has signed a deal with ESPN and Fox that's going to pay $31.7 million per school per year. I kind of figure Pac-12s are going to be within 10% of that, either high side or low side. So, you know, $29 million up to $33, $34 million per school. And I don't really think it matters, right? That's money on the margins when you're talking about an athletic department, a couple million bucks. That's not going to affect the trajectory of your football program, right? So somewhere in that range financially, and then the big thing also is the exposure and which are their media partners, how much of it is linear, how much of it is streaming. You know, for them, it's, you know, is there a Friday night piece? How much a Saturday night? How far in advance are they going to set kickoff times? There's a lot of details involved, and what happens to all the content that all the games that have been on the Pac-12 networks over the years. So there's a lot to it, but I think that they'll end up with certainly a package of games on ESPN for sure.
John, on the Pac-12 network, the SEC network, the Big Ten network are really the leaders. The ACC is in that business now. The Pac-12 has been around a long time. Does that network survive this?
No, I don't think so. At least not in its current form. Right now, the Pac-12 network is, you know, a media company. I think what the most likely scenario is, all the football and basketball games that are on the Pac-12 network, they get moved to, you know, a media partner, whether it's Amazon, Apple, ESPN, somebody else. And then the other stuff, the Olympic sports, you know, baseball, softball, swimming, all that, that could be in a reduced version of the Pac-12 network that is basically a streaming service that fans can get if they're interested. But I have to believe football and men's basketball are going to be part of a deal with a major media company.
San Diego State has obviously been mentioned often in expansion. Some of us frowned when we heard that, but after the run through the tournament, there probably seems to be a little more motivation to do that. Where are we on that?
I mean, I think that they don't really have a choice at this point, the way San Diego State played in the NCAA tournament, it makes the optics look a little bit better. You know, they've got a good basketball program. They would come into the Pac-12 as, you know, one of the top two or three probably. Football's decent, but the big thing about San Diego is it allows the conference to maintain a foothold in Southern California, which is just a huge piece for them for media exposure, but also for recruiting.
Talking to John Wilner, John, beyond that, let's get to what really matters, and that's what happens on the field. And one more year of no playoff, and then it expands, which certainly helps the Pac-12. But you know, Southern Cal has really led the resurgence. What does this year look like? Is it Southern Cal and Oregon and everyone else?
You know, I think it's going to be the best season for Pac-12 football in a long time, and a lot of that's because of the quarterbacks. You know, Oregon, Washington, Utah, USC, they're all bringing back their starting quarterbacks. Oregon State's got, you know, should be loaded at quarterback also. Colorado, it's a very deep conference for quarterbacks. So, to me, you know, they finished with, I believe it was six teams in the final playoff ranking. Might have been five. And they'll probably start the season with five or six teams in the AP preseason poll is my guess. And I don't know that USC is the favorite at this point, right? I think Utah, you know, back-to-back champs, and Washington's bringing everybody back. Oregon's loaded. So it should be a very, very good year and not just totally dependent upon the two L.A. schools, you know, in their final season in the conference. I think that, you know, any number of other teams could end up winning the championship.
John, I meant to ask you this before I immediately jump to on the field. You mentioned San Diego State in the expansion conversation. It's unlikely you bring one in. Who would their drafting
partner
be?
No, I think that's true. Right, they could, you know, if you get rid of football divisions, you could have 11. And I think that they've thought about that, but to me, it's more likely that they bring in an even number. And I keep hearing that SMU is in play. SMU is that's a longer term play, right? You're kind of gambling with SMU that several years playing at the Power Five level, that program will, you know, emerge as a upper tier, you know, Power Five caliber. And I think that, you know, there's a couple of things that the Pac-12 season in SMU, you know, over and above the fact that it's a good school and qualifies, you know, academically for the Pac-12. But they're looking at it like a lot of they have a very wealthy donor base. So that would help with NIL. It would help with football investment. It's a private school, so they aren't hamstrung by state bureaucracy. There's a lot of folks think that, you know, they could, if the donors are motivated by being in the Pac-12, they could plow a lot of money into that program and help raise its profile. And then, you know, after 4 or 5 years in the league, it's a much better product than it is now. But it's definitely kind of a longer haul play, where San Diego State, you know what you're getting right now because they're competitive in both sports.
Always a fantastic conversation with John Wilner of the Mercury News, who knows more about that league than anyone else. We wanted an update, and we had it. Thank you, John. We head to the break. More of your phone calls the rest of the way at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
People talking already.
And we are back.
No.
And we continue. And your phone calls are welcome. And Davis is in Wisconsin. Hello, Davis.
Hey, Davis. I'm his mom. I'm his mom. And I'm just calling in because I just love Paul so much, and I love your show.
Well, let me make sure. What is your name so I can be your first name?
Lois.
Lois. Okay. Well, Lois. It's a pleasure to meet you.
This is an awesome show, and I think you people are awesome.
Oh, that is fantastic.
And I just appreciate it so much. And I just want to say I love Mississippi State.
Well, Lois, you're calling from Wisconsin, is that right?
Yeah.
How did you go?
But that's my favorite team.
Okay, so did you?
My son loves it.
What is your connection to Mississippi State?
Just that my son has been there and he loves it so, and we love the team and we love the people and I love Paul and I love his show. I think it's the best show on TV as far as sports go. And I also want to say shalom.
Shalom.
And aloha, because we're also from Hawaii.
Oh, okay. Well, that is, I've been a couple of times. Where in Hawaii?
Several places, but what's the place where we were? My memory's going.
That's
where
okay.
did we
Mine
live
is
in
too.
Hawaii? Mililani.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
and my
Lois,
son was a great basketball player.
It has been a pleasure getting to know you.
Well, God bless you guys. I think you're just a gift from God to all the people who like to listen.
Well, thank
you. Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Aloha. Lois, making our day here, calling from Wisconsin. Dan in Louisiana.
Wow, Paul, how you follow that? Hey, Lois, you add spice to the mix. I love it. Anyway, Paul, I want to put the Angel and Caitlin deal behind me. So I want to tell them, act like you've been there before. When I scored a touchdown, I went and I took the football to the referee. And the guy in the backfield, because I was going to run next point. And then if you're good, you don't have to tell nobody. They know it. Go Tigers.
Well, there you go. Dan has spoken. David in Florida is up next. Hello, David.
Hey, Paul. This is David. Can you hear me?
I sure can. You sound great.
Okay. Good. I just want to call in and say what a great basketball season this has been. I haven't watched college basketball since Dominique Wilkins played for University of Georgia.
That was only 40 years ago.
Yeah, my girlfriend says I'm 14, so I've been 14 for 50 years. So anyway, just a big shout out. Great I'm going to be watching basketball next year for sure. And just want to say that and go Dogs.
Well, let's have a drink for Hugh Durham tonight in his honor. Dale is up next in Colorado. Hello, Dale.
Hello, Paul. How are you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Cheers, sir. As a Georgia Bulldog fan here in Colorado, I just want to say how excited I am that finally Colorado fans here are excited about their team. Because of, the hire of Prime. But, I think they should pump the brakes on the expectations. I think it's going to take him a couple of years, Paul. What do you think?
Well, it will. But I think that one thing that he's done is he's done what he's supposed to do. He's energized the fan base. He's a major topic. And I mean, you cannot talk about college football nationally without mentioning Prime. And that's I've run into a couple of Colorado fans in airports, and they all say the same thing. The only thing I have to say as a caution is he has to back it up, because fans will tune out very quickly.
I think they need to give him time and don't be disappointed.
Well, they'll give him time, but the one thing he did at Jackson State, he won immediately, and that made made it a lot more.
I mean,
if you're 7-5 program, there's only so much oxygen to be granted to his. So I think that's really the issue. Thank you very, very much. I haven't seen that name in a while. Dustin in Tulsa. Hello, Dustin.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
We are doing great. I called the Tulsa FBI to make sure you weren't in witness protection.
Yeah, they told me there was a man with a fresh haircut that was on the lookout for me. I told him, well, that's probably just my buddy, Paul Feinbaum. The Paul Feinbaum Show, come for the sports, stay for the generic Viagra commercials. Those are always my favorite part.
Well, you have to earn a little extra money this time of the year with holidays coming
up. Of course. Now, I really don't have anything particular planned to say. Just have been really busy the past few weeks. Wanted to call in and say hi and kind of getting excited about this Arkansas Razorback football season. I think I know everybody is, but I heard a guy yesterday that said he thinks 10 wins or 8 wins are on the table. I think 8 wins are on the table, and I think 10 are possible, maybe not probable, but I think we could reach out and surprise some people. What are the chances of getting Coach Pittman on in the next few weeks and going over things?
I would say they're excellent.
Good. That would make me very happy. That would make me very happy. Not that the show exists to make me happy, but you know, it's nice to be happy.
Well, we are trying to have as many coaches on as we can, and some of their schedules obviously are complicated. You know, we're dealing with different personalities, but we'll have a few coaches on over the next few weeks.
Well, that sounds great. I'll be looking forward to it. I wanted to say congratulations to Mr. Cat Daddy. He swept through that bracket like wildfire, and hopefully now we don't have to say the word bracket for another year.
The good news is the college basketball season is over. If you're a basketball fan, either the good or bad news, depending, is that the NBA playoffs are about to begin in a week and a half, and they should be lasting 4 or 5 months.
Absolutely, Paul. I'll part with a question. This is something I've always wanted to ask you, but never kind of gotten around to. You were there for the Bear Bryant years, and you met him and knew him personally. When you come down to it, and I don't want to be morbid about this, but eventually Saban will, you know, retire, and eventually, you know, as time will catch up with us all, we pass. When Saban's no longer a fixture at the university, and when he's maybe no longer with us at all, which I hope that's not for many, many years, I really respect him, how do you think his legacy will be viewed up against that of Bear Bryant? Will he be merely kind of respected as a coach who won, or do you think there's a chance that he'll be embraced and loved like Bear was by the Bama community?
Dustin, the problem with my answer is that I think if you ask someone about a political figure of many years ago or an entertainment figure, we all tend to get caught up in the moment. Although I've covered Nick Saban a lot longer and know him a lot better than I did Paul Bryant. You were nice to include me in covering most of his career, but I really didn't. I covered his last 2 years.
I apologize. I kind of thought you had been.
Let me correct myself. I think I covered his last 3 years. Excuse me.
Okay.
So, but I also was in college when he was coaching, so it wasn't like I just dropped in from outer space.
Sure.
I doubt that Nick Saban will be talked about in the manner that Coach Bryant is 40 years later. I just don't think anybody will be. I think the world is so different today that Bryant affected people in a very personal manner. What Saban affects people in a way that makes Bama fans feel much better about themselves. But right. it seems more transactional than Bryant. Bryant was such a part of people's lives. He was also the coach at a time when, let's be frank about it, Alabama had a terrible reputation in almost everything but football. The place was disgraceful in many respects. That is not the case. Alabama is a modern, thriving state today. We're back in Bryant's in the 60s. And even after that, it was an eyesore in the country.
Absolutely. Well, I agree with you, and I appreciate the answer. Thank you for taking my call. It's good to be talking to you again. Say hello to Randy for me, and I hope you guys have a great weekend.
Thank you very much. But it's a great question for if I was in the process of doing a doctoral dissertation, it would be a great topic to try to compare the past and project the future. We head to the break. More. I'm not doing it, by the way. Not that smart. We will take your phone calls the final 30 minutes.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we're back, and appreciate you joining us. So let's grab some more calls. And Jack in Augusta, you are next up.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
We're fine, Jack. Thank you.
So I just wanted to know, out of all the places you've lived around the South, what do you think is the best from Memphis to Birmingham to Charlotte and Knoxville? What do you think is the best?
Well, I've lived longer in Birmingham than any of the other places, so I'd probably lean toward that. Knoxville, I was only there for 4 years. It was it's hard to really look at a city when you're a college student because you have nothing. But yeah. I mean, they've all been important in my life, to say the least. By the way, I also spent 1 year in Shreveport, Louisiana. Don't forget that.
Oh yeah, my bad. I'm sorry about that.
I detected that you didn't bring that up for a reason.
All right. I guess another question. What do you think is? You've been probably. I'm assuming you've been to every single like SEC campus. What do you think would be? What do you think is your favorite like SEC campus that you've been to?
Jack, that's a tricky question. I have been to everyone, and most of them countless times. But I think you're always partial to the ones that you've – I mean, obviously, I've never been to Knoxville yet where it wasn't special because of the affinity for the school based on my past there. But, you know, a lot of times it depends on the weather. there are some places I'd much rather be on a pretty day than a cold, rainy day. Thanks for the call. AJ is up next.
Mr. Feinbaum, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
Hey, to all those people that think that the callers competition is not serious. They're fixing to find out. Today, hey, Cat Game Eyes celebrate for 24 hours like you did yesterday, but the 2024 Caller of the Year kicked off today, and what do we got? No legend. He has removed himself. One day removed from the throne, and nobody's silent, Paul. What do you think Legend's doing this afternoon?
Oh, I imagine Legend's working. I think Legend will be back. I mean, Legend is a Hall of Fame caller.
I hear you. Hey, I'll tell you what he's not doing. He's not sitting there making a call like Creston from Tulsa. Took a week and a half off, and he's going to bring that kind of weak call like he did earlier? How much of a brown nose call can he have?
AJ, what makes you the final word on a good – I thought it was a very good call myself.
Absolutely, but I'm going to tell you what. I don't even put that much butter on my baked potato, Paul. I'll just tell you the truth. I mean, that brown nose call to keep you running and keep you talking – hey, absolute weakness, Dustin. Step it up. If you're going to run with AJ, you got to step it up. War Eagle.
Someone asked me a minute ago about my favorite place and my favorite city. If someone called in next and said, who is your most delusional caller, would that be hard to come up with? Matt is up next.
Hey, brother, how you doing, Mr. Paul Feinbaum? Look, I want to talk to you about Texas A&M and how delusional Arkansas fans and AJ, shut up. Just shut up. You're the most weakest, pathetic caller. So is your team. You're going to mess a bunch of losers this year. But Arkansas fans, Paul, are the most delusional. The one that called into you, your show said, when you're 8-4, that's the most non-delusional fan I've ever heard from Arkansas. They ain't going to know 11-1. Keep on dreaming. We're going to whoop the crap out of you this year. And, Paul, if you had to put Bear Bryant in today's era of the NIL, would you think he'd make it? And would he make a difference like it did in the 60s with those ignorant Jim Crow laws? And my last month?
Paul Bryant would win in any era because he did. He won in the 50s. He won in the 60s. He won in the 70s. Carried that on into the early 80s. He went through a very difficult time when schools were segregated and then they were integrated, and he dealt with all the different variables. I think he would adapt, just like Nick Saban has adapted from one generation to the next. Myth is up next. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, I got to give a shout out to a head coach of mine that was in college who is now an assistant coach now and a recruiter for Musselman down at Arkansas in Razorback Country. He never played me, laugh out loud. Anyhow, moving on. Hey, where do you see Stoops at now with Kentucky? Is he staying for a while or is he leaving?
I think he'll be there for a while. I think he's had opportunities, but I think he's very comfortable where he is, and he should be.
I mean, we got some good receivers coming in. Is this new quarterback that's coming in, is he going to be able to establish some kind of a 500 season, or is he going to be more so leaning more towards
I'll make you a prediction right now. I think Devin Leary will be a better quarterback than Will Levis.
Okay, I like to hear that. One last question, Paul. Why did Jimbo Fisher leave Florida State?
A couple of reasons. He was sick of Florida State, and they were sick of him.
That's it?
Well, that was the subject of the sentence. When you get to the second part of it, I just think he was completely exhausted from dealing with an administration that would not go along with what he felt they needed to keep up, and the program fell apart. And that was after he completely transformed it. I mean, he took over for for Bobby Bowden when things were at low ebb. And a couple of years later, he had an undefeated season. And the next year, he had another undefeated season until the playoffs. So, I mean, he had quite a run there, but it just wasn't sustainable because it didn't have a very good infrastructure. Rabbit is up next. Good afternoon.
How you doing, Mr. Paul Feinbaum?
We are doing great. Thank you.
I want to dedicate this call to Miss Tammy and her grandbaby.
Well, that is nice of you.
I live right here in Childersburg. I go pay my light bill out by my park, right? And we put up crosses there where the wreck happened. And I just want to dedicate, I'm an Alabama fan, but she was a good, great caller, you know. And I live, breathe, sleep out by my football. And I miss her so much, you know.
Well, Rabbit, we all do. She was and is one of the most special people in the history of this program. Thank you very much for the call. Peggy is up next. Hey, Peggy.
Woo! Oh, hi there, Paul.
Hi there.
Yes. Sorry, I didn't know the caller, Tammy. I just got in on the tail end of that, but she sounds like she was, very sweet, special lady, and I just want to offer my condolences to the gentleman that called in, and to you and the other fans. But the reason I called, I just wanted to thank you. Now that March is over, that's the first time I ever called in. I heard about you through my son, who's 35 years old, and he's a high school basketball coach and an athletic director up here at a local high school, and he was telling me about the documentary about the Iron Bowl, which I had no idea. I was just, always this hardcore UT person. And after I saw that documentary, though, Paul, once I've raised all these youngins, I have four. My youngest is 25, and her name's Peyton. But that'll be another story for another time. Peyton Nicole was born in 1997, the year Peyton was there at UT. Levi told me about, your show, and we watched that together, and we've always had. I raised him as a single mom, and he started playing Little League, and we went out to Little League High School, and then he's the youngest. He got out of, went to college at Johnson City and got out, went back to Cosby, and he's been coaching up there. And he got promoted and was at Morristown West for a while in Sevierville. But last year he took the job and went back to Cosby, which is a much smaller, place. But the kids need him. It's just a really small school. We've always been really tight, but he's, the football and the sports program and everything has always meant so much to us. And he got to play down there at UT when they have that kickoff class that they would have the young high school players. And he got to be on the field, and my dad, before he passed, got to go see him, on the Jumbotron. We looked up there and there was his picture. So, it's just getting to meet, or not meet, but talk to you. I want you to know it's been an honor, and to tell you my John Ward story. And I think I got caught up in the drama of the calls a little bit, but I just want to tell you that I appreciate you taking every call, and I enjoyed it. And I'm going to be listening, during the football season, but I just want to thank you for letting me participate.
Peggy, it was our pleasure. We head to the break. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome back, and we will talk to one of the great players in college football this past season, Hendon Hooker, tomorrow on the program. He is expected to go very high in the NFL draft, perhaps in the first round, as many have speculated. We'll talk to him tomorrow. Let's get back to our calls, and John is up next in Mississippi. Hello, John.
Paul, how are you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Great. Thanks for having me on the show again. It's a number of times I've been with you, but I just wanted to say that I heard the old boy from Texas call in ago about Paul Bear and of course, Coach Saban, and about the differences. I was fortunate enough to have Coach Bryant and Mal Moore and Steve Sloan sign my letter of intent to play golf there back in the early 70s.
Oh, wow.
And then from on to that, I watched the man in the 1900s. He was the coach of the century, no doubt. Coach of all time, most likely. But when Coach Saban came to Alabama, it was in disarray. He brought the process, his winning ways, his winning thoughts. Between those two gentlemen, be the greatest toss-up of all time. I just think that Alabama's been privileged to have them both.
Yeah, it is. It's beyond remarkable that you could end up, in, you know, depending on how you look at history, but in my mind, the two best coaches of all time.
Exactly. I mean, how much prouder could you be than to have those two gentlemen lead that team every Saturday out to the football field? I mean, what a great experience, and for the university. And the fans, I mean, my God. And for the conference, I mean, you could go on and on. It's been historical what they both have done for the game.
Yeah, no, it's well said. Thank you, John. You be well. You take care of yourself. Let's continue. And Jake is up next in Little Rock. Hello, Jake.
Hey, what's up?
Hey there. How are you?
I'm good. I got a couple of questions for you.
I'm ready.
Hello? Oh, hey, do you think them Hogs going to make the Sweet 16 or the National Championship basketball?
Well, I thought they had a good chance to do so. Yeah, I was and they did. I was pretty disappointed they didn't go farther, but they ran up against the absolute wrong team.
No, I mean, you know, UConn, they is a blue blood.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I mean, but, by the way, I don't know if the Lakers could beat UConn. I mean, UConn was in a different stratosphere this year. By the way, I think UConn could have beat the Lakers the way the Lakers have played. Chad is in Ohio. Hello, Chad. Go right ahead.
Hey, my man. How you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you for calling.
Good. I'm a Buckeye fan, Buckeye freak, actually. But I just wanted to ask you, who do you think is going to be Alabama's quarterback this year?
Chad, I asked that question earlier to Cole Kublik, and I don't think we have a great answer. My guess is not so much the beginning, but I think Ty Simpson will be the quarterback by the end of the season, maybe earlier.
Right. And Georgia, what about them?
Johnny is up next. Hey, Johnny, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Congratulations to Cat Daddy. And my call, it's about the image of Alabama. You know, with a world-class automotive industry and Redstone Arsenal in Birmingham, I had a buddy on a cruise ship, and the air went out, the raw sewage started coming up everywhere, and they had to get to the nearest port. All the people were panicking, and they wound up in Mobile. Well, all these passengers run to the front, and all that sewage and all that sweat. And the guy says, where are we at? And they said, Mobile. I said, where's Mobile? And they said, Alabama. They looked down in that sewage and they looked at their sweaty bodies and said, we're going to stay on the boat till they get it fixed.
We are done. We thank all of you for being here. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.